Obama's release, the young Karl Marx in the United States, in the aftermath of the Parkland massacre and the remarkable uprising of the students who are taking on the entrenched power of the NRA. We have 10 seconds.
Well, that's the thing. Capitalism and people like LaPierre makes you believe that we cannot change anything because that's the way it is. And Marx and those young children are telling you, no. Because human beings make history. So if you get together and if you're a collective, you can change anything you set your minds to.
Well, Raoul Peck, we're going to continue our conversation. And by the way, congratulations on your BAFTA, the equivalent of the Oscars in the United States, for I Am Not Your Negro, about James Baldwin. The new film, The Young Karl Marx, out today in New York and Los Angeles. I am Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now! Special thanks to our producers, Mike Burke, Renee Feldstein, Augusta, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff. Thanks for joining us.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Henry Ford College and WHFR are proud to celebrate Black History Month by hosting a variety of free events to celebrate the history of African Americans. Join us on the main campus throughout the month of February for live music, lectures, movie screenings, and a student and culinary arts center. For more information, stop by the Student Activities Office or go online to hfcc.edu for a list of events and times.
Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Welcome to the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, on this Friday afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's been a rainy week. We're all hopefully wringing ourselves out and pumping out those basements and so on. But Alan, you survived pretty well, it looks like.
No, so far so good. Yeah, I was going to say, other than, I mean, technically there's four seasons to the year, right? You know, there's spring, summer, fall, and winter. In Michigan, basically, we have construction, we have like 6 weeks of winter, and then we have pothole season. So I think we're entering pothole season right now. So
I think there's some people that have entered potholes that haven't gotten out of them yet, to be honest with you. But, oh, it's been tough, hasn't it? Goodness gracious. We are excited to sort of change our focus onto something a little extra pleasant, a little extra academic, this particular show today. So we're actually going to be focusing on some things directly connected to the arts, both at Henry Ford College, opportunities for volunteerism in our community, and then an opportunity to experience some really exciting things going on in our local galleries and through our local organizations. Before we do that, though, I think it's certainly worth noting there is a little bit of sort of hunting season, talk about seasons, kind of going on here in the area as well for the next weekend, yes?
Well, and obviously, we do want to mention this because obviously it's been a recurring issue where, you know, people are worried about, especially in an educational environment, things like gunshots happening. Mm-hmm. There is going to be, and I'll just read the press release here. The Wayne County and the University of Michigan Dearborn are going to conduct a deer cull to reduce the local deer population on and around the U of M Dearborn campus. And that's going to begin this weekend. It's going to begin tomorrow. The cull is going to take place sometime between 3 and 11 o'clock tomorrow and on Sunday. And on Wednesday, February 28th, happy birthday, Kendall. That's my wife's birthday. And then also Thursday, March 1st, and the next Saturday and Sunday. It's going to take place in the wooded area on the west side of the U of M Dearborn campus, which basically is, you know, our right-hand neighbors here at HFC. So basically between the campus and the Rouge River and back in those woods, for people who know. Access to the nature area to the west of HFC campus and the U of M Dearborn campus will be entirely off limits during the times when this is taking place. Police and campus safety officers will also be, you know, stationed throughout the area to make sure that nobody is able to enter the area while they safely are able to take care of this. And, you know, obviously people can have differing opinions on whether it's necessary or not. Wildlife management protocol basically says if we have too many deer in too little space, we have to be able to find a way to do things about it. All the deer meat, if I'm sorry to you vegetarians, but all the deer meat harvested from the cull will be processed and provided to the Gleaners Food Bank and be used to help feed needy throughout Southeast Michigan. For further information, you can contact the U of M Dearborn Police and Public Safety Department, and their number is 313-593-5333. So that's 313-593-5333.
Thank
you. To let you know.
Yeah, I've been here long enough to have experienced several of these. They do them not necessarily every year, but quite often. And it's, we hear it here. I mean, literally, you know, if you're in the parking lot or if you're entering campus, you can hear that. It's a little off-putting. But,
and certainly, I'm sure for residents in the area as well, just on the other side of the river, up there on the hill, as we always call it. Yeah. You know, just to let you know, and in this day and age, it's certainly something that, you know, you need to know about.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Ellen. We are excited to have in studio with us, we feel, sort of one of our local celebrities, frankly, and we have Mr. Ralph Valdez joining us today. And Ralph is involved. You must have multiple hands because you've got so many hands in so many things, Ralph, in particular with the Dearborn Community Arts Council, and you're just a local legend. What can it, probably beyond local, but that's, you know, my area of expertise. So we'd like to welcome you. We're so excited to have you back in our studio. It's been a little while, so welcome back.
Thank you, Susan. It's great to be here. It's wonderful to talk with you and Ellen.
Well, thank you. We are excited as we learn more about some things happening right up and coming, related to Dearborn Community Arts Council and what's happening in our local galleries and so on. But for people that, for whatever reason, have not heard of the DCAC as executive director, just a quick moment to explain the parameters of what your organization does here in the community.
Sure. So the Dearborn Community Arts Council, also known as the DCAC, has been around since 1969, and I've been fortunate enough to be involved as the director for about the last 4 years. And when it started, it was very much just a grassroots kind of small organization of Dearborn artists trying to connect and kind of raise the profile of the arts in Dearborn. And through the years, it's continued to do that with the help of different benefactors, and one of those was a businessman whose name became the gallery that we now oversee, the Pajeski Art Gallery, which is in the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. So Mr. Pajeski offered enough money to make this wonderful state-of-the-art art gallery space for the community as part of the Ford Center when it was created back in 2000, 2001, around that time. So like I said, through the years, it's grown, the DCAC, and has worked with many of the organizations, some small, some large, throughout Southeast Michigan, but mostly in Dearborn. And one of our main focuses is to help them to elevate their profile, help them to promote what they do, help them to get the word out. And as a nonprofit organization, we're able to kind of help some of the smaller groups with bulk mailings, with some of the logistics of being a small independent arts organization. And then with some of the larger organizations, we just collaborate. We partner, you know, with the Henry Ford, with the Dearborn, different Dearborn artist groups, the Artist Society of Dearborn, the Detroit Institute of Arts, I mean, just legacy institutions as well as some of the smaller ones. So it's a real wide mix of things that we do and that we oversee. But the main focus for the Pajeski, or for the DCAC, is the curation of the Pajeski Art Gallery, which is a wonderful gallery that has something new practically every month.
Okay. I'm thinking, you know, sort of show of hands to our radio listeners. If you've never been to the gallery, you know, raise your hand. I just wonder how many hands are going up right now. And we're working to try to change that number. So we have fewer and fewer people saying, I hear about it all the time. I've just never tried it. So lots of opportunity.
Well, one of the great things that's been happening in the last few years is we've been noticing a lot of new people coming in, and some of the exhibits that we've been able to bring to Dearborn have gotten some good attention, some good press, some good media that have brought in folks that we, from, you know, all over the state. We had an exhibition of Hudson's display windows from the legendary Hudson's department store, and that was a lot of fun. That was one of our biggest crowds last year. We've also done some great comic book art exhibitions, and we also do a regular annual photography exhibition, which is currently up at the gallery through the end of February. And that's going to be followed by an exhibition called Rock, Paper, Paintbrush, the work of three Dearborn-educated artists, Wendy Sample, Elroy Grandy, and Muhammad Bazzi. And that's going to start on March 9th with an opening party there at the gallery. So it's a little tucked away, but it's a treasure. And when people do find it, they're always pleasantly surprised, and they spread the word. And as I've been trying to say, that the shows that we have been having have been getting new people and getting a new attendance. So that's been very rewarding for me.
Very nice. In talking about partnering with other organizations and upcoming, the entire month of April, let's say, is an upcoming event. You know, there's so much going on. We call it April Arts Month here in the community, and I know we'll be talking much more about it at WHFR and on this show as well. But one event, first time ever, as I understand, is a partnership between the DCAC, Dearborn Community Arts Council, and the Dearborn Community Fund. We've had Emma Jean Woodyard on talking a little bit about the Dearborn Community Fund, but we've got a fundraiser coming up which involves music, art, as well as sort of a shared purpose for joining forces. Tell us about that.
Sure. That's called Sculpting Dearborn's Vibrant Future, and that's a first-time ever joint fundraiser between the Dearborn Community Fund, the DCF, and the Dearborn Community Arts Council, the DCAC, two wonderful major nonprofit organizations that support the arts in Dearborn. So this first-time ever joint fundraiser is happening next Wednesday, February 28th, between 6 and 9 p.m. So it's a middle-of-the-week sort of thing. It's a after-work thing that you can come and support, and, you know, support the organizations that support the arts. The idea behind this fundraiser is involved with public sites for local sculpture, like public sites for sculpture, big works of sculpture that are going to be put out throughout the city. And I've been on this committee for the last few years that I've been involved with the DCAC, and this is the first time ever that we're working with the Detroit Design Center, which is the Nordine brothers, Eric and Israel Nordine, who do wonderful work, and their work is very thematic in many ways. So it's going to be the first time ever that this work that's going to be in public sites throughout Dearborn will sort of speak to each other. It'll all sort of have like a connection based on the idea of these brothers working together. So Sculpting Dearborn's Vibrant Future, the fundraiser, will offer an opportunity for folks to come and see maquettes, which are small versions of these sculptures, up on our mezzanine for a champagne reception that starts at 6 o'clock. And two of the sculptures, the maquettes, will be available for our attendees to choose, to have input, to have like a people's choice, so that the folks attending the fundraiser will be able to say, we like this one, we like that one. Whichever ones they choose will be added to the public sites. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're also going to be moving onto the stage of the Michael A. Guido Theater for dinner. So it's going to be a lot of fun, live music, just lots of great things.
Alan, this is your chance to get on stage.
You don't have to sell me on the concept, but what is important about public art? We talk about, you know, where we can spend money for public spaces and things like that. What is it about art that brings something of value to public spaces?
Oh, well, for the community at large, I think it does a lot of things. It helps them to just appreciate their surroundings, their environment, and interact with things that are not in a museum, not in a gallery, but out on the street, out in the landscape of the world at large and the city of Dearborn at large, as the case may be. So I think it helps people to reflect on many things. I think art in general does that and serves many great purposes, but public art specifically, I think, has a role that cannot be overstated. I think it's very important to have major works of art that people can connect to and have it be part of their local environment.
And be a part of selecting what might be on display as well.
Is that a unique twist?
Okay. This is the first time that that we've ever done this selection. Being part of a selection committee in the past has meant that a group of people in the arts get together and kind of throw in their two cents and kind of go back and forth over what art they think deserves to be out in the streets, in the public. This time we're asking the public to be involved, and it's also part of, like I said, this first time ever joint fundraiser. So if you're able to, you can join us there on Wednesday, February 28th at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. The dinner on the stage of the Michael A. Gaito Theater will be also followed by live music from Jacqueline Sergei Schmidt, a classical pianist, and we'll also have jazz vocalist Alexa Kalas performing with a guitarist. So it's going to be live music, and the Nordine brothers from the Detroit Design Center will be on hand to talk a little bit more about their work. Up on the balcony or the mezzanine of the Ford's Performing Arts Center, there will be the champagne reception, which will also have a loop of the Nordine brothers' work showing, along with all the maquettes that you can look at and vote on and see what's what. It's going to be a lot of fun. The tickets are available through the website for the Dearborn Community Fund and also by calling 943-5478.
Wonderful. In the process of learning more about ways that we can participate and get involved, we've got the month of March that we're going to get through and then really hit it hard with April Arts Month, of course. Anything in particular that you want to mention, just little teasers for us right now that we can look forward to, or anything coming up in the month of March to kind of hold us off until that happens?
Yeah, well, I did mention Rock Paper Paintbrush at our gallery is going to be starting March 9th with a free to the public open reception, a party that will kick that show off, and I'm looking very much forward to that. And then in April, the Dearborn Gallery Rally is going to be moving into its second year, and it started small, and it was just a way for the local Dearborn galleries to recognize each other, work together in a small way. This year, we're taking it a step further. We've actually coordinated our programming and our just the idea of being able to move from gallery to gallery, so we've timed it so that you can go to all the different galleries. There are about seven of them. Including the Glass Academy, the Henry Ford College student show will be up over there, the Berkowitz Gallery, the Rotunda Gallery, which is in the Henry Ford Centennial Library, will have a show of Dearborn Public School teachers and their work. The Arab American National Museum will be part of the gallery rally, and then of course our gallery, the Pajeski Art Gallery. Art Space will have a puppet show happening, and I think that starts around 6, and then the evening will close off with Green Brain Comics, and they're having a fan art show at their gallery of wonderful work that they do on Michigan Avenue.
Very nice. In the process of learning more about specifics of these events, is there one site that we can go to get the basic information, maybe through the Dearborn Community Arts Council in general?
Yes, for a lot of this, it may not all be up at this time, but the website for us, for the Dearborn Community Arts Council, is dcacarts.org. And I did want to mention that the gallery rally is happening on April 7th. That's the one thing I didn't mention. All those galleries.
It's a specific date. It's not a month-long thing,
but it's a lot of these galleries will have shows that will be coming to a close or just starting at around that time. But on April 7th, that's the day that we're choosing for the on-site kind of, take your time and stroll and get to know all the galleries of Dearborn. So that's part of April Arts Month. But yeah, I think the social media, the folks that help us with our social media and the Dearborn Community Fund social media are really working hard to get a page going for April Arts Month as they did last year. So that'll be probably up and running pretty soon in the next few weeks. But in the meantime, yes, you can go to dcacarts.org for more information, or you can call about the fundraiser next Wednesday, February 28th. The number is 313-943-5478.
All right. we thank you so much for your continued work on just supporting the arts and showcasing the arts here in this community, and for your time today and joining us. We'll stay in touch the next couple of months, but thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Sure, appreciate it. We are continuing to celebrate the arts. Many thanks again to Ralph Valdez, Executive Director of the Dearborn Community Arts Council. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk to Mandy Earle, and she is here on campus, a representative for the Student Activities Office, and she's going to talk about arts and scraps and ways you can get involved literally tomorrow and even further down in your agenda. And then also Steve Glazer with the We Are Dearborn exhibit here at the Sisson Art Gallery.
We that are and so Dearborn. Much it's more. Like, it's like a manifesto, isn't it, right?
It is. We are, it's like a chant,
a
right?
Chant.
Yeah, and you know, we need some good stuff right now. We need this sort
positivity.
Of ability to, yeah, to kind of refresh our brains a little bit.
I'm interested to hear what Steve has to say about
it. Oh, he's always got a lot to say, yeah. We've got more on the way. This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw along with Alan Mazurek. Stay with us. More to come.
Attention licensed practical nurses. Are you looking for a convenient way to earn your RN degree? Do you need the flexibility of a program who recognizes you for your previous hard work as an LPN? Here's great news. Henry Ford College has exactly what you're looking for with their Advancement LPN to RN Bridge program. You can advance your career and become a licensed registered nurse. Want more info? Give us a call at our School of Health and Human Services at 313-845-9877. That's 313-845-9877.
Thanks for staying with us on the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here, and I'm joined at this time with Mandy Earle, who is the Student Activities Associate for Henry Ford College. And the Office of Student Activities is always hustling and bustling. Mandy, we're so glad that you're there to sort of keep things moving forward and organized, because it seems like every time I look at the computer or hear something about a project, the Student Activities is behind it in some way, so it must get a little bit discombobulating with so many balls in the air, if you will.
Yeah, we do like to have a lot going on. We like to keep the students, faculty and staff engaged and connected on campus. So we try to offer a lot of different types of activities for them and opportunities for them.
Nice. Speaking of opportunities, there's one coming up this weekend, and it is a volunteer day at the Arts and Scraps Education Reimagined organization in Detroit.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this. It sounds fascinating and just actually kind of like a lot of fun. So what's Henry Ford's role in this project?
Yep, so this is actually one of the students' favorite activities that we do. We did it last year as well, and they seem to really enjoy it. We try to, each semester in the fall and also the winter, offer three different opportunities for the students to get out into the community and volunteer and give back to our local communities. So this Saturday, February 24th, we're going to be going to Arts and Scraps in Detroit, and it'll start at 9 a.m. and go until about 12. We're going to go to their warehouse and help them sort out all of the different materials that they get donated from individuals, and also from a lot of Detroit companies will donate a lot of materials to them. They recycle all of this material and make it into craft kits for students at local elementary schools. And they focus a lot on STEM education, but they put these kits together with just anything you can think of, raffle tickets, old CDs, magnets, just to educate the students and help them be creative and use their minds to just imagine what could be with that project.
Nice. When you mentioned the STEM focus, for those that don't know what STEM refers to, listening to us today?
Yep. Science, technology, engineering, and math. Math, yes.
You got it. You got
it. I have to remind myself.
And those are pretty hefty fields, and we're talking about playing with materials, with arts, and little crafty projects. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we don't necessarily make that connection between how this sort of crafty kind of thing actually can support and lead to potentially an interest in one of those very highly academic fields.
Yeah, and that was something I was surprised at, too, when we went last year, and I think a lot of the students really were surprised at, too, because they also showed us some of the projects that they did with the students, and this is what it came from, and this is what it became, and this was kind of the lesson that was taught when the students were making this project. So I think that's also a good thing for the students and the faculty and staff that go, just to see, like, wow, like, this is something that you can do with your mind and just with these simple projects and where it leads to it. So I think that was great for them to see that as well.
Nice. So for our listeners that might be thinking, well, I have some stuff that I've been saving. I have an aunt that saves the toilet paper rolls. She just saves them. And then whenever there's somebody doing a drive kind of a thing, she donates them for school projects and things like that. So if we have a listener that's thinking, I have like some of these things, work gloves or hand soap or paper bags or carts or different types of supplies that it looks like they might be looking for with Arts and Scraps, can they connect with you and then you can bring them down actually tomorrow for the event?
Yep. So they can bring them to our office and we can take them on their website, which is artsandscraps.org. They have a great list of everything that they want and things that they don't want. So it's very specific. And then also on our website, we have some of the things listed as well. But they can definitely drop it off the student activities office, and we're more than willing to take it down. They do take donations throughout the week, too. So if it's something that they don't have ready to go this weekend with us, they're certainly welcome to take them down during the week and on the weekends.
Nice. I noticed one of the things on the list, a copy machine in working order. Boy, that's handy to have for anybody.
Yes.
But I can completely understand how an organization like this would like to have a working copy machine. So if you have a copy machine in your basement that works, you're just not really into making copies anymore, consider Arts and Scraps, and I'm sure, Mandy, you can connect an audience member with the organization if necessary as well.
If anyone has any questions about anything, they can always contact me, or I can direct them to my contact through the organization as well.
Great. So for a student or someone involved with the school or community member that wants to be supportive of Henry Ford College and our role at this Volunteer Day, exactly how much time will be involved in the process? Do you start at the school and then bus down? Does everybody meet down there? How does it work?
Yep. So for our volunteer days, we always meet at the organization. If there's anyone who needs assistance with finding a ride, they can always contact our office and we can help to arrange that. But typically everyone will meet at the organization. We're usually there for between 2.5 to 3 hours. And then everyone kind of leaves from there and goes home.
Okay. When students join events like this for volunteer opportunities, what do they do besides the learning experience that they're getting personally and probably the feelings of goodwill that they've garnered through the process of volunteering? What can they literally do with volunteer hours, maybe in a school capacity or even moving forward and looking for a job?
Well, I know it's a requirement for some of the programs here on campus, so we do have a lot of the honor students who participate as part of their requirement for their program. It also looks good for students on applications and resumes just to see that they're involved and giving back in their communities. It's also a great way for them to connect. We have a lot of faculty and staff who also join us for these events. It's a good way for them to connect and get to know them and build relationships with them and also other students that maybe they might not know on campus already and just kind of network with them and build those relationships and just learn from them as well.
Nice. Well, we certainly want to support it any way we can and have been talking about it this week on WHFR. So I know this one's literally tomorrow, but it's still not too late if you're interested in jumping in. Does somebody need to call you in advance, Mandy, to let you know that they're going to be coming down?
Yes, we do students, faculty, and staff to pre-register.
Okay.
So just letting us know by Friday before 5 o'clock so that we know how many people to expect and then also so that we can let the organization know so that they can plan for a certain number of people.
Got it. In terms of other things in the works, there's always something going on, I think, through the Office of Student Activities. What else would you like to talk about?
So after this Friday, this Saturday, we will have another volunteer day in March. We'll be going to Gleaner's Food Bank in Detroit. That is another favorite of the students, faculty, and staff that we go to. We'll be helping them to sort and package food boxes that'll go out to different local pantries for families in need.
Have you done the Gleaners thing personally?
Yes.
Yourself?
Yes.
I thought you would have more than one occasion, I'm sure. What is it about that organization that just, oh my gosh, it's just such a good feeling. Any opportunity to volunteer at Gleaners, it's like jump all over. It just feels so good.
Yeah, I think the students really feel like they're helping when they're doing that service project, just because they can see see where it's starting and where it's going. And I think Gleaners does a really good job of getting their name out in the community and letting people know all the different things that they do. So when you work with that organization, you know that you're really giving back to the community and you're really out there helping a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And again, the particulars on that one?
So that will be Saturday, March 24th. We're going to do it in the afternoon for this one. It's going to start at 1 o'clock and go until 3:30.
Very good. If we have an organization that is interested in becoming one of the organizations that would receive the support mm-hmm. through the Office of Student Activities, or if we have students that connect with different groups or community members that connect with different organizations, can they offer these suggestions to your office then?
Definitely, yes. Okay. We're always looking for different organizations to partner with just to give the students a wide range of different opportunities to see all the different wonderful things that are going on in our communities.
Nice. I also like to think about parents and grandparents that might be listening, and they've got their young people that are working to make, you know, to make some money and going to school perhaps, or even in the high school phase right now. And how, if you volunteer, if you used to volunteer, that it really stays within a family, doesn't it? It's
yep.
sort of leading the way and then keeping that tradition of volunteerism going.
Yes.
I'm sure you probably see people talking about, well, my parents used to do this or my grandparents were big on this.
Yeah, or some of the students will say, you know, my parents or grandparents used to take us to these events
sure.
and take us to these things to do. So it's kind of like instilled in them as they were growing up. We have a lot of staff members and faculty that will ask if they can bring their children with them to the events, and we've had a number of do so. Each organization kind of has their own restrictions on ages, depending on what it is, but most of the time they're welcome to come and participate as well. And that's something, I have a two-year-old, but that's something that I'm like, when he gets a little bit older, that's what I'd like to start doing with him too, so hopefully he'll get that instilled as he's growing up as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does kind of run in the family,
yeah.
doesn't it? That's wonderful. Well, Mandy, it's been very informative today. Thank you. We're always excited to share the great things going on in terms of volunteerism mm-hmm. here at Henry Ford College. They really do seem endless and in a good way, so that means you're doing some great things with your job. In terms of that one constant here on campus, which directly supports our students and their success, and that's the Hawk's Nest,
yes.
and that's the food pantry available to students that need some extra support.
Yep.
We just had a food drive, I know, not that long ago, but what types of opportunities or needs might be able to be fulfilled through our volunteers and our listeners?
Yeah, we're always looking for donations, whether that be food items or monetary donations. We have a good amount of students that are using the Hawk's Nest regularly, so we always are needing to replenish and restock. So definitely food items, macaroni and cheese, peanut butter jelly, sandwich stuff, any type of soup right now is really important, ravioli, pastas, pasta sauce, like a lot of those staple items, and things that students can eat on campus are great too, so anything that they can throw in the microwave. So like the individual mac and cheese, that's great for them so that they can get something while they're here on campus.
Okay, makes sense. And again, for more information on how to provide some resources or anything else really that we've been talking about
yep.
today. Would you give us your contact information again?
Yep. So my phone number is 313-317-1756, or you can also email me at mlearl1@hfcc.edu.
Thank you so much for your time today, Mandy. I know you're a busy lady, so we'll let you go, but we really appreciate it, and all the best success with this weekend's event.
Thank you, Susan. We appreciate your support as well. Thank
Certainly.
You.
All right. We've got more on the way. Stay with us.
Do you ever feel like your resume is just not good enough? Then come on in and check out the Career Services Center in Building A on Henry Ford's campus. Not only are they open all year long, but they are there to assist you when it comes to resume building, work study, co-op, and much more. So check them out, Building A on Henry Ford's campus.
What are you doing Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m.? Why don't you stop on by so that we can blend? Make a date with the diva. On my show, Lyrical Infusion, each and every Saturday, I bring the lyrics out to play. So I'll meet you here at WHFR 89.3. Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m., is the place to be. Or listen live at WHFR.FM. It's truly a classic, not a trend. Ooh, I can't wait. Don't be late. At WHFR, we make waves.
Thanks for staying with us. This is the WHFR Dearborn's WHFR Journal. We are talking at this time with Steve Glazer, who is the head of exhibitions at the Sisson Art Gallery. And Steve, you have so many titles now. It would take 10 minutes to go through them all. But for this particular interview, because I know you wear a lot of hats when we bring you into the studio, mm-hmm. for this particular interview, we're excited to learn more about We Are Dearborn. This is an exhibition going on. It is dramatic, it's exciting, and it is running now at the Sisson Gallery. But it's more than just a bunch of pictures on the walls, isn't it?
It is more than just a bunch of pictures on the wall, but they are what one sees as they come into the gallery. But along with that, if one comes in and looks around, hopefully, if you're a regular gallery museum goer, you'll notice that something's missing, and that there are no names, no titles, and that's very intentional. And the concept behind the whole exhibition is this is what you may encounter coming into Dearborn, walking through parts of Dearborn, or any part of Dearborn, is people from different backgrounds, different ages, different nationalities, different ethnic groups, and I love that part of Dearborn. And I think, you know, that's one of the best things that we have going here at Henry Ford College is that we are an extremely diverse school as far as the student body and much of the faculty and staff. The student body, probably one of the most diverse colleges in the country, I think, you know, from what I've experienced and what I know. I've seen colleges that are, you know, have a bigger minority population than we do, but not have the diversity that we do.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons why many of us have taught here for years and years and years. It's what keeps us going on a regular basis. It's so different.
That is, and that's when I came here. I taught at a four-year school in West Virginia, and this is getting off track, but people said, you know, why are you going from a four-year school to a community college? And one is because I grew up just north of here on the west side of Detroit. I knew the population. I knew the diversity of the area. And, you know, it's just so refreshing to talk to people from different backgrounds in my classes so that I'm not going into a classroom that everyone in the class looks the same. Everyone, and you know, whether they look like me or not, you know, it's not a class where everyone looks the same. Every class is different here and brings a new challenge and a new personality. And that's what the exhibition's supposed to be about. Do you want me to go into how the exhibition started or what?
Well, I think it's always fascinating when we walk into the gallery and we see some beautiful display. We know that it took who knows how many months of preparation and design, and in fact, sort of a creative thing had to happen to get it to a point where we finally sort of get the end result. But it's in no way the beginning and the end all at the same time. So where did the seed get planted?
Okay, well, this actually starts. The seed for this was an exhibition that took place, and I can't remember which city in Europe, called Inside Out. And what they decided to do as a publicity thing for the city is post pictures of the community, you know, large portraits of people in the community all over town, literally store windows, sidewalks, billboards, you know, with the idea of this is who they were. And they started, you know, trying to incorporate others to do likewise. This came to the attention or was brought to the attention of Emma Jean Woodyard, who runs the Dearborn Community Fund. I know you've worked with her on many occasions. And, you know, she wanted to do something like that in Dearborn, but the place, the timing, the finances behind it just never fell into place. And they did get some photos that the Dearborn Community Fund owned, enlarged, along with some photos from the Sura project at the Arab American National Museum. Sura translates to photography in Arabic. So the photo project that the students work on at the Arab American National Museum, and those were blown up and displayed in a building that was empty at the time in West Dearborn last summer, or last May, a year ago May, or year, yeah, last May, so let's see it, almost a year ago. And looking at that and driving by that encouraged me to, I guess, to think about it and talk to Emma Jean of, could we expand that? Could we make it so that instead of being, you know, just a few large photos inside a building that as you drove by you see, what would it be like to put them in a gallery and even expand it? So approximately, I think it's half. I think 21 of the 42 photographs that we have in the gallery are the ones that Emma Jean and the Dearborn Community Fund had enlarged and had possession of or own. And 21 were done by our digital photo class here at Henry Ford. Miss Karen Larson-Volt was able, you know, was willing to take the time and do a class session that was a photo shoot. And so we, anyone that was willing to have their photo taken for the possible inclusion in this project, they were invited to come by a room on campus one day last semester. And actually, we promised them an 8x10. I still have all those in my office. I have to get them back to two people. And then Ms. Larson-Volt and I went through all the proofs and decided which 21 were the most in focus, the best composition and stuff. And so had those enlarged to be Henry Ford's part of the exhibition. So that's how this exhibition came about. But then it's more than just an exhibition, as we had one special event so far, the beginning of February. We had a blues in the Sisson Gallery event, and two individuals in the Blues Hall of Fame, Mr. Harmonica Shaw and Mr. Howard Glazer, did a live performance in the gallery after or at the end of the workday. So it was intentionally done at the end of the workday. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we could get people leaving offices to come over and come through and see something different than they usually see on campus.
It was wonderful. I was there. It was standing room only, in fact.
It was.
And
it was.
So I spent most of the time in the hallway, but it was just wonderful. I was here in my office, which is literally, you know, across from the gallery, and I was grading papers, and I heard this music. I was like, woo, I love the blues. So I peeked out. It was like, it's time already. This is amazing. So great.
And a couple of other things that, you know, we have a couple of things in the work. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Tazine.
Mm-hmm.
Plays guitar in a jazz band. So they are tentatively going to play as the grand finale for the exhibition.
Nice.
The evening of, I think, March 15th. Though we may stay open the 16th, whichever works better for her, and I have to find out for her, from her. And but that'd be, they can't do it right at the end of the workday, so it would be actually a real evening performance, a 7:30 performance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am working on seeing if the Wednesday of that week we can do sort of a fine and performing arts, because I'm chair of the Fine and Performing Arts now, little event in the gallery that would include a half hour or so of theater, a half hour or so of people from our music department, and a half hour or so. And this is all on a give or take basis, a little bit from our dance company.
Right.
So that you know, sort of it's a teaser. This is what we do over here.
Yeah, nice.
You know, along with nice. It's like, you know, there's the gallery, which half of the photos are done by our art students.
Right.
So it's, you know, a teaser nice. Of everything that we do over here.
Sure.
And so I'm still working on coordinating that.
Sounds awesome. That would be Wednesday, then the...
That'd be the 14th. That's
March,
tentatively so. What we're planning
put
on.
Put that on your calendar, yeah.
It would probably be a 4:30 type event,
okay.
if we can pull it off. And each faculty has sort of individually bit into the idea, but it's like we haven't had any, wow, can we coordinate it to do this? And it could be really awesome, and I don't even know if this... could be pulled out if somehow that event had a finale where the choral group or was singing, the dancers were performing as a backdrop to some kind of improv or something, a little snippet for the upcoming play.
Wow.
Yeah, type thing.
Yeah.
Whether we could all coordinate to do that,
right.
I don't know, but that'd be a great way to get the school to realize we have, a vocal group and jazz lab bands that have performed literally around the world.
Yeah.
We have a dance company that most people don't know because we've had trouble getting people to take dance classes, but we will have a dance, a liberal arts pathway in dance starting in the fall.
Nice.
And so but we have had dancers from here go on to major companies. And our theater students have gone on to major performance venues,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like the public right now, because of the restrictions of federal financial aid, the restrictions of guided pathways. Not saying that those are the only reasons. The whole push for STEM education, people have forgotten about that. And so I think part of my role as department chair is to make people well aware of those things.
The arts are here. They exist.
They exist in Henry Ford.
Yeah.
And I would love, and I don't know if it's going to be able to pull it off, but
I'm
hoping.
If anybody can do it, Steve,
I don't know.
It's you. I think anyway. It sounds exciting. Something to look forward to. There's another component, and again, we know that the exhibit itself runs through Friday in March, the 16th. But what is this part about sending selfies to?
Have a wall, and that was intentionally left open. One of the smaller display areas within the gallery, but it's one of the part of the, well, if you walk into the gallery, it's the wall to your immediate left. There's just nothing on display, and there's room to put a couple of large photographs there. And what I mean by large photographs that are in the gallery, it's like they're not selfie size. They are minimum 31 inches tall. Most of them are 44 inches tall. And then there's one that's a life-size photograph, full, 5.5 feet tall, 6 feet tall.
They're very dramatic when you walk in and see
Yeah.
them. They're just very, very dramatic.
Yeah,
so,
they surround you.
Yeah.
They become, you're amongst them. And so we have one wall that is the selfie wall. And so I've set up an email address just for this exhibition, which is... We are Dearborn Exhibit at Outlook.com. And if you send me a selfie before the exhibition is up, I will post it on the wall. There won't be any names or anything, but I will post a 4x6 selfie that is sent to me.
Nice.
And we have about a dozen up right now. I was hoping by this time we'd have a couple hundred up. So, we need a lot more.
Okay. So when somebody sends you a picture, they can just send it electronically?
Yeah.
And
that's how I want
it. And everything. Okay.
Yeah, send it to me electronically. And all the images on display as part of the We Are Dearborn exhibition are black and white, but the selfies can be, black and white, color, whatever you take on your, cell phone. And... send it to me. I print it the way it comes in. So it's like,
okay.
If you don't like it, sorry. Yeah, don't come and meet to me and complain. Right. So pick out one that you like, and they have to be family friendly.
Yeah, well, good point. For somebody that's listening that maybe doesn't quite understand the concept of a selfie, what exactly are you looking for?
Hold up your cell phone, point it to yourself, and take a photograph.
That's it.
That's it. In fact, it's like sometimes you go to dollar stores and get little contraptions that will hold your cell phone and push the trigger on it. Or you could go to a place like Best Buy and probably spend $10 on the same thing. But it's like, yeah, there's actually mechanisms so you could hold your phone about 3 feet, 4 feet from yourself.
Yeah. Selfie sticks.
Is that what they're called?
Selfie sticks, yep.
Mm-hmm. Because I've seen people use it so they can photograph a group of people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we have a wall for We Are Dearborn Selfies. Nice. It's about the same thing as what the exhibition is about. What it means to live, work, attend school, visit, whatever, in relationship to Dearborn, Michigan. And the whole idea is, like, we believe, those that live in Dearborn, that this is a really nice community to live in. It's probably as safe as any other community that I know of. It is very friendly. There's been a lot of political rhetoric, especially leading up to the last two presidential elections, falsehoods about Dearborn, that Dearborn is run by Sharia law. And I'm trying to remember who pointed it out, because I sat through all of our presidential mm-hmm. interviews, that no, we're run by shawarma law. You can find the best shawarmas on earth here in Dearborn.
Sounds good. And when you mentioned presidential interviews and things, you're talking about literally for president of the college.
Of the college.
We've got these interviews going right now because we're seeking our next president of Henry Ford College.
And they had interviews this past weekend. And
right.
I think that's the only faculty member that sat through both days of
both days. Wow. Well, you're to be commended for that, Steve. Well, we know you're a busy man. We're going to let you move forward. But one more time, if you would, just the particulars of the exhibit and that website, or the email address again, I should say, to send in a selfie. And what hours can we come out to the building?
The exhibition is We Are Dearborn. It's 42 large-scale black and white photographs of people in around Dearborn. The exhibition runs through March 15th, which is a Thursday evening. We may have an event Friday. I don't know yet. So that could be either Thursday or Friday. Normal hours of the gallery are 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Wednesday. But please be conscious that we can't have the gallery open if there's no gallery attendant. And usually the gallery attendant are work studies. My work studies who are gallery attendants this semester, for the most part, have been extremely reliable. But every now and then, there's a time where, for some reason or other, someone has to take a child to the doctor and someone else's car broke down, and it just all happens at once. Mm-hmm. So we're usually open, but there's every now and then there's a hiccup in the schedule. It's just like anything else. The website or the email site to send selfies is weardearbornexhibit, all one word, @outlook.com. And if you want to get a hold of me, my phone number is 313-845-6485, and that's my office phone. And in there a lot more these days now that I'm department chair.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Well, this has been most informative. Congratulations on the success of this wonderful exhibition.
Thank you much.
We look forward to seeing it play out here in the next few weeks. And thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Certainly.
And keep posted. Hopefully, if we have anything going on, if these two final events materialize mm-hmm. or anything else, Sam, I think he's a DJ of yours, Sam Tycho.
Tylo. Mm-hmm.
Tylo asked if he could do a one-person like sax performance along with backing tracks to different types of music. So I gave him my card as he sat in with the people I play with Sunday evening. And he said, "What's going on in, with this music in the gallery?" So it's like, so he may do it also that final week.
Nice. Well, you've got some things up your sleeves.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So, very exciting. When you know, you let us know.
And then we'll first let everybody thing, first, else as know. Soon as I know for sure, yes, you'll know as, you know, when I know something for sure, you know, and then the PR communication office.
Perfect.
Gets a shout out.
Yeah. Really appreciate the time. This is,
thank you.
A lot of time put into this. So very grateful. All right. We've got more to come right here on WHFR. Stay with us.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Start your exciting career as a surgical technologist now. Henry Ford College has a two-year program with a 98% employment rate. Job offers are up by 24% all over the United States. You'll graduate with an associate degree and hands-on surgical experience. Prepare for fall 2018 enrollment and call a health career advisor today at 313-317-6845.
It's the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. So glad to have you with us this Friday afternoon, along with Susan McGraw, who did thanks so much for those great interviews in this segment of our program. And we'll wrap up our program, as we sometimes do, as with Josh Hebert talking about sports here at HFC and in the Dearborn community.
Yeah. Basketball season coming down to the wire. The Hawks have two games left, and the high school men's basketball teams in the area have about a week left before the playoffs begin. The Hawks won on Wednesday. They beat Alpena to move to 21-5 on the season, 12-2 in the conference. They finish out the regular season with a road game tomorrow against Wayne County Community College in Detroit. And then the final game will be here at Henry Ford on Monday against Oakland Community College to end the regular season for them.
One last opportunity to see a very talented team put their skills to work, and then obviously, hopefully, moving on to playoffs after that.
It is a blowout on Monday if you are coming to the game.
Okay. What time at the Athletic Center?
That would be 7 p.m.
Okay. Very good.
Also, we want to congratulate our own C.J. Wilson, who committed to Saginaw Valley State for next season. One of Coach Shepard's first recruits.
One of those talented Hawks that have led them to have such a great season.
Yes. And then in the high school area, we have, in the city of Dearborn, Edsel Ford at 12-6 on the season, leading their conference, finishing out their final home game, which will be on the 27th against Lincoln Park before they begin the playoffs. Fordson is 10-7 on the season, in the middle of the pack over on their side of the bracket, with two games left, and both of them are at home on the 27th and on March 1st. Crestwood, a little disappointing season for them this year. They are 5-11 on the season, and their final home game is coming on the 27th of February as well against Wyandotte. And then we have Dearborn, who is a little bit below average this season, not where they have been in years past. They have their final home game on March 1st as well, and that's against Annapolis. And then we have Divine Child, your Falcons there, Alan. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
12-4 on the season. Their final home game is coming tonight against Carlson. And this is one of my games to watch this week, with a good matchup between Tyler Coombs of Carlson going up against Quinn Blair of Divine Child. Good matchup down low for both of the two players. Good teams to go out and watch if you want to check those out. Divine Child is number one in their conference. Carlson is number two in theirs.
And the Down River League. I think Trenton is doing well this year down there?
Trenton isn't. You have Woodhaven, actually, Tuesday night, you had Josh Warren of Woodhaven passing the 1,000-point mark for his career. He is only a junior. They have one last home game this season, and then next season he'll be a player to watch in the area. And then Alan Puck in the Downriver League is in third place behind Woodhaven and Carlson at 12-6 on the senior season. And senior Donovan Ebo will lead them in to their final two games on the 27th at Annapolis. And then they host New Boston Huron on the 1st. And then finally, we have roller hockey, which went 2-1 last weekend, and they will be playing March 1st as the 2 seed in their playoffs at 11 a.m. at Joe Dumas Fieldhouse out in Shelby. And then we also want to wish good luck to the wrestlers who are competing in the NJCAA National Championship this weekend.
That's coming up right here this weekend, right? Yeah. So and what a tremendous story they have been over the past 3 years or four, since they've moved from a club to an actual sport.
This is their first season as a varsity sport. So
what a way to debut, right?
And then same with roller hockey. I mean, they're only a club sport, but I mean, beating teams that have, as Dominic has said and as Coach Fenwick has said, more players coming out and being able to do more things, they've been able to go out and compete and be the number two seed in the playoffs for them.
And then from here on out, Josh, we think spring, right? We're gonna move these things outdoors, right?
Yeah, baseball, softball, let's get it going.
Josh Hebert, thanks for joining us on the new WHFR
thanks
Journal.
For having me.
Yep, indeed. I'm Alan Mazurek, and thanks to you, our listeners, our loyal listeners, for being with us this hour. Susan McGraw and I really appreciate you being with us as we talk about things going on in and around the community, which includes a variety of topics we discussed today, arts and obviously sports here to wrap things up. This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Music comes up next here on the station Making Waves.
What do you do on Sunday nights? You should be listening to WHFR Dearborn, Skrock and Yerba Tau, every Sunday night. 7 to 9 p.m. What are you doing? You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, Skrock and Yerba Tau.
Skrock and Yerba Tau.
Skrock and Yerba Tau.
Skrock and Yerba Tau.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.